You know, when God answers prayer, what do you think that does for you? Build your faith, right? It shows you that God can do what you have asked Him to do. The Bible says that if you are in lack, you should ask the Father, who graciously gives us all things. Thank God He graciously gives us all things. Amen? And we didn't have to beg for it. We didn't have to plead for it. We didn't have to make a deal with God. We just came to God in faith and said, Lord, no promises, no guarantees, but we need a children's director. And God raised her up right here in our midst. And I thank God so much for that. Amen? And I look forward to what 2015 is going to bring to our church specifically. That's why I've been talking about this new campaign, starting it off called I Love My Church, and talking about what your role in the church is all about. Look at your neighbor and say, did you know you got a role to play? You got a role to play. Each one of us has a role to play. You may say, I don't have a role to play. I'm not gifted. I clam up in front of people. I don't like standing up in front of people. I don't like talking. I don't like doing this. But you know what? God can give you a mime ministry, right? He can get, Dean, there's hope for you, brother. There's hope for you. You got to shave your beard, though. But, yeah. So, but listen, every single one of us in this local church here, not the church at large, not the body of Christ at large, this local church, New Freedom Church, you have got a part to play. Whether you're a teenager, whether you're up in your senior years or your midlife or whatever it is, a college student, you have a part to play. The only thing that you got to do is to come and say, Pastor, put me to work. And I will put you to work. All right? Listen, I got my bubble burst the first day of full-time ministry years ago, probably about 14 years ago. Came on as a full-time pastor in this church. Man, I came dressed about like I am here, except for I had on slacks, suit slacks. And, I mean, everything. I had my smell good on. I had my hair all fixed up, just like I look right now. And I came in there and had my Bible in my hand, and I had a man purse as well on my shoulder. I mean, I was ready to go. And walked in, sat down in my office, and my pastor goes, come here, Brother Jimmy, got something for you. And I thought, oh, here we go. Here we go. I'm going to counsel somebody. I'm going to preach. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's going to be something pastorally, though, I'm sure. He brought me into this big room with a bunch of junk in it. And he said, man, I need this cleaned out today. I thought, golly, you kidding me? Do you see what's going on here? I mean, I'm like, this is full time for real, you know. I said, we got somebody that'll do this, you know. Let's let somebody else do this. And he goes, I really need this cleaned out today because we're going to turn this into, you know, some kind of room. I forget what we're doing with it. And he goes, but I saw, man, I had to roll up my sleeves and got dust all over the place and took me all day long. That was my first full day of full-time ministry. So my bubble was burst right off the bat. But ministry can be anything. It can be coming in and helping me set up props. It can be helping clean. It can be helping greet somebody at the door. You know what's important to greet? Because you are the first person that a visitor sees. That's important stuff. How would it look if you came up to, you know, they came in, and you know how it is when you're coming into a new church, you're kind of anxious a little bit because you don't know anybody, you don't know where to go, and all of a sudden you're greeted by some grumpy curmudgeon, right, that doesn't even want to be here in the first place, doesn't open the door for you, just stares at you through the window. You want in here? No. Greeting is important. It's important stuff. And if you have a good attitude, if you want to do something like that, then talk to me, man. I'll put you to work. Anything. We're open to whatever the Lord wants in New Freedom Church, right? And so last week we talked about being intentional about loving the church. We talked about how it's important that if you want to love your church, then you have to be intentional about it. And so we're going to show you this video. Christian, if you'll go ahead and cue that up. And this is the second week, and we got this video that kind of correlates with every single week. And so go ahead with week two there. What these stories are, and they'll get into a little bit more, is talking about their experience in church and what the church means to them and what they can do in their church. You know, you've heard, can anybody tell me what President said, don't ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country? Who? That's right. And that same mantra stands for the church as well. So many times we look at the church as something that we can get out of it. What can we get out of it? What we can get out of it? But what we need to do as far as our mindset is change that and say, what can I do to help in my church? What can I do to impart into somebody else's life? What can I do to make a difference in somebody else's life? And today, we're going to be talking about some of that very thing. Because listen, unless you open up who you are and open up your life, you're never going to impart anything. Amen? Uh-oh. Amen? It's not going to happen. And today, we're going to talk about the importance of community. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about involvement in community. So let's pray. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you so much that you have painted a picture for us of what the church looks like. And Lord, community is part of it. And I pray, Father, that you would open up our eyes and our ears and our spirits to receive your word today. I pray, Father, that you would give us the courage to open our lives up, to let someone in order that we can be a blessing to them and them to us. And so, Father, I thank you for anointing me to preach your word today. God, I pray that you would use me. In Jesus' name, amen. So, when Dana and I bought our house in Alloway, one of the must-haves that we wanted was a fenced-in backyard because we have a dog. And I didn't want to, you know, constantly be walking her around the block 50 times a day. So we wanted a fenced-in backyard. And so that was a must-have. Now, one of the things, and son, if you'll go ahead and put the picture up. One of the things that houses have, right, is when you look at a front yard, you look at something like this. See the nicely mowed lines, right? All the bushes are manicured. Everything is where it's supposed to be. The mulch is right. Dean, does that yard look okay? Did you do that yard? No. And so we see this pristine yard, but son, if you'll go ahead and flip it over to the other. Now, this is what our backyards look like. This is where we live, all right? This is who we really are. Okay, we invite folks over, and we see, you know, the dog walkers are walking through the neighborhoods, and they see the front yard, and they see how beautiful it is, and then what happens is that, you know, we leave our backyard for just ourselves because we don't want anybody else to see what our backyards look like, right? Because, and if you'll notice the fence around it, they don't want anybody else to see that either. And so what happens is that we live our lives behind, and I got this prop up here, we live our lives behind fences. We live our lives behind fences because we don't want people in to our private space in our life. We don't mind, put it back in the front yard, son. We don't mind people seeing that. And that represents who we are on Sundays, all right? We're nicely manicured. We've got our best on. I don't have bad head this morning. My hair's not crooked and maybe sticking up in the front, but that's about it. But what happens is that we want everyone to see this. We'll spend time doing this, but we don't want anyone to see this. Because the backyard, on the other hand, is where the kids' toys are, right? It's where the dog places well-placed landmines back there. Every time you mow the yard, you're stepping in stuff. And so that's where the backyard is. This is where we live, right? Now, the fence is the separation between the two places. It is the barrier between the front, which everyone is allowed to see, and the back is where we live. So if you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. So what do fences and yards have to do with community? Well, it has to do a lot. Hebrews 10, verse 19. We'll go through verse 25. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus." Is that right? Yeah. Okay. By the blood of Jesus, by the name and living way open for us through the current that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled and cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we confess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, before I unpack this piece of scripture here, let's go back to the fence. Let's picture our lives, okay, as a yard. If we were honest this morning, we could admit that we live behind good fences, right? We are good fence builders. We are confident and comfortable with showing people our front yard. It's nicely mowed and it takes, you know, it's taken care of. But the backyard is private. It's who we are. And getting in there is by invitation only. And sometimes in community, what we do is we take this fence and we, first of all, the church is this. The church is a hospital, right? It's not some place that is perfect. It's not some place that has no flaws in it at all. A church should be a hospital for the wounded. Because in all of us, at one point in our life, we have wounds in our life. But what we have, what the world has told us and what our parents have told us, what society has told us is that we have got to build a fence around those wounds and those hurts and those ugly places in our life so that no one else sees, and so that you can make yourself look presentable to society, so that you can function. And so what we do is we build, you know, you would think that pallets would be made out of scrap wood, but it is not. It is hard, hard wood and hard to get apart. And so, but what we do is we build our lives around these fortified fences. And we build it up just high enough so that it hides every flaw that we have. And we come into church and we hear the message preached, we hear the words sung, praise and worship, and everything in us wants to raise our hands. Everything in us wants to submit and fall prostrate in front of the Lord. But what happens is that our fence gets in the way. And we hear the word preached, and everything in our spirit is screaming to respond. Repent. Come for healing. But what happens is that our fence gets in the way of the altar. Because we've built a fence that is presentable to the outside for everyone to see, hey, they're okay. Everything's going okay. But what happens is no one sees what's going on right here. Because we are very good at hiding our flaws. Now, I know I'm not going to get a bunch of amens this morning. That's okay. I want you to listen to me. Because what I'm going to teach you today is going to save your life. And what happens is that we take this fence and we build it up and we paint it. We put flowers around the front of it. We do everything we can to distract people from this. And so we decorate this. Jesus talked about that one time. He was talking to a bunch of Pharisees, those that kept the law, those that are supposed to teach people God's law in his heart. But over a course of time, they became bitter. And all they cared about was the outside. Jesus said, you guys, You fast in front of everyone, and you do it even to the point where your face sinks in, to where your clothes are just hanging on you, and you do it for your glory. And you assume when you go into a banqueting hall that you sit at the head of the table. And you're full of pride and dead men's bones. That's what Jesus is saying to the leaders, the spiritual leaders in Israel. And Jesus made this analogy too, which is pertinent here today. He said, you do this. He said, you take a tomb and you whitewash it on the outside. You make it look so good, but on the inside it's full of dead man's bones. It's full of destruction and hurt. It's full of death. And Jesus said, if you will allow me to take a sledgehammer to your fence, I'll give you purpose in your life. I'll make you have fellowship with one another to the point that that you never thought was ever possible in your life because of your wounds. Because some of us identify ourselves solely with our wounds. As a matter of fact, that's all we talk about in conversation. I used to call my grandpa when he was alive, and there toward the last few years of his life, I would call and I'd say, "Hey, Grandpa, is Grandma there?" "No, she's not here." And I said, "Well, how you doing?" "Well, I'm not doing too good." And then he would tell me every ailment that he had over and over and over and over again. Or you get in a conversation with somebody and you know that they've got a wound in their life, and all they want to talk about is that wound. They'll manipulate the conversation over to themselves. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about at all. You have no idea what I'm talking about. But what happens is we build up these fences so that we can just get through life. We are good and we are masters at manipulation when it comes to ourselves. We'll spend hours on the front yard, but we'll neglect where we live, who we are. Now, if we intend to love our church the way God wants us to, then we need to do these things. Number one, know that Jesus has crashed our fence. He has torn it down. When Jesus died on the cross, something amazing happened. The Bible says there was a great earthquake in the land. So great that in the temple where the veil separates the people from the Holy of Holies, the Bible says that when the instant Jesus died, that veil was ripped from top to bottom. Completely annihilated. And he did that so that there would be no separation between the Father and the people. Jesus immediately, day one of his death, tore down the separation between he and the Father and us. Amen? He made a way for us to come before him. And look at verse 19 through 22 here. 19 through 22. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." You see that? The Bible says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain." Jesus provided the way, amen? He broke down that wall instantaneously, day one. Now, the author is talking about the fact that because of Jesus, we now have a way to come back to God. And again, if you take a look here at this, what I was going to do today, because we have limited space, I was just going to take this thing and just go at it. But because of splinters and everything going everywhere, I don't want to hurt anybody. I would love to be honest with you. I'd just love to just go nuts on this thing. But what happens is Jesus, when he died, he took that fence and he knocked it down to the ground. He took, in essence, this sledgehammer represents his blood and his sacrifice for us. So he didn't just take a little hammer. You know those little hammers that you can buy for like a buck at Ace? You know what I'm saying? That if you hit it hard enough, it's going to shatter all over the place. Jesus went all the way to the back and said, you know what, give me the biggest sledgehammer you got. And he took the sledgehammer and he broke down the walls and the fence just for us. He did that so that we could live a life of community, first of all, with us and the Father, and second of all, with one another. You see, if we want to live in constant community with one another, we got to open up. We've got to knock these fences down. Because that very hurt that you're trying to hide, God wants to use to lift somebody else up. Amen? Because the decisions that we make, see, we don't think about decisions sometimes as affecting someone else that we hardly know. But the decision that we make to knock down walls in our lives that we have been ashamed of behind what's covering that, our lives. We've been ashamed of it for so long. But if we would allow God into those places and knock that fence down and allow him to completely obliterate it and allow him to heal us, we can use what we deemed once as shameful and harmful, and we can use it for the glory of God to bring someone else up out of that pit. Amen? All of heaven is hinging on you being healed by you knocking those walls down. And you don't have to necessarily knock them down yourself. What you have to do is invite the demolition derby man himself, and that is Jesus himself, amen, to come in. And look, it looks destructive at first, right? I was going to do a video, too. I was going to just have Joshua video me knocking this thing and obliterating it all to pieces, but I just didn't have time this week. But it looks devastating at first. It looks like nothing can come out of this destruction at first. But the Bible says he gives beauty for ashes, strength for fear, gladness for mourning, and peace for despair. He gives those things to us. He exchanges those things. So in our ashes, he raises up life and beauty. Amen? He raises up something that we never thought could ever exist before. So even though God destroyed the fence between him and us, we still attempt to build fences between us and others. Demolishing that fence is as easy as admitting that we need him. We can't live our life on our own. We need Jesus, amen? Realize that the barrier between you and Jesus has been crushed by Jesus on the cross. I call on everyone today that don't know Christ. If you don't know him today, don't waste another minute in your sin, in your pain, in your destruction. Don't waste another minute. Call upon the name that is above every name, because he can heal you. He can forgive you. He can bring life to you. Amen. He can set you free from a life that is bruised, that is broken, that is aimless, and is in complete devastation. And he can bring healing to you again. Amen. Now, secondly, if we intend to love the church the way God wants us to, then we have to first know that Jesus crushed the fence for us. Secondly, allow others into our yard. Allow others into our life. What is the first thing that you do whenever company's coming over? Clean your house. Everybody does it. Clean your house. If you're going to have a barbecue, what do? you mow the backyard, you weed eat all the weeds out, you know, between the bricks. You know, you set the lawn chairs out. You do everything right. You put a little candle out there, you know, and that way everybody thinks it's out like that all the time, right? Our house right now, let's see, there's dirty clothes on the kitchen table. There's stuff like that, you know. I mean, that's just the way it is at the end of the week, you know. Oh, honey, that's all on me, okay? She's the wonderful. She's the wonderful of the two. But, you know, what I'm saying is our house doesn't look spotless all the time. It's not supposed to look spotless all the time. We've got kids. I've been in some houses that, you know, their kids have been gone for many years and their house looks like a museum. And I'm afraid to touch anything. They're full of knickknacks and things that would break if you breathed on them too close, you know. I'm afraid to live in a house like that or go to a house like that because we got kids. But what we need to do is, first of all, we need to allow people into our yards. We need to allow them into our lives. Let people in. Because not only could you bring healing to them, but they could bring healing to you. Because of what they've been through and what they've allowed the Lord to bring them through in their life, right? And so sometimes we come into this building and we sing together, we greet each other, we talk to each other, and we do it all behind a fence. We do it all behind our Sunday best because we don't want anybody in. We don't want to respond to respond to an altar call because heaven forbid. I mean, we've been coming to this church now for 5 years, 2 years. I mean, I can't respond to that kind of altar call. I don't want anybody to know my stuff. But you know what? That kind of mentality keeps you in prison. It keeps you bound up. It keeps you feeling isolated and behind a fence that you have built. And that you know that if you call upon the name of the Lord, He will take that fence down. Amen? But Jesus has broke this fence once and for all. But for whatever reason, whenever we try to get too close to people, and listen, that's why we are intentional about doing stuff in community here at New Freedom Church. If you're ignorant of the Word, it's going to be because of your own fault. Amen? Because here's what we offer. Small groups. Man, small groups are just awesome. They're fantastic. It's where you get to grow and learn and study God's Word, praying over one another. It's where you learn how to pray. We have a college age on Thursday night where there's probably what? How many are here on Thursdays? About a dozen? Here every single Thursday. Wednesday nights, for the last 8 weeks, we've been teaching people how to pray. Not just now I lay me down to sleep stuff, but I'm talking about intercessory prayer, where we're praying God's best upon people, where we're breaking down those barriers in people's lives, where we're believing for the impossible. One of the things that we prayed the other night was we have Youth Alive is going to be coming into the schools here in Green Bay. And we've got one school in Howard that is booked so far. And the cost is $3,000 a day to bring these people in. And so I talked to the principal and I said, listen, when do you think that you'll hear from the other schools? And he said, I should hear from them tomorrow. And that was on Wednesday. So it was supposed to hear from them on Thursday. And so I brought that need into the intercessory prayer group on Wednesday night. And I said, guys, we need the doors to fling open so that these other schools can come in. And the principal called me, emailed me, and said, we have two more schools that have come on board. Two more schools come on board. That's what prayer does, folks. That's what prayer does. He opens up doors that no man can open up by himself. We not only offer that, but we offer youth group as well on two different nights, on Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, intercessory prayer, Sundays. I mean, there's ample opportunity to get into community with one another. And the only thing that holds you back is you. And see, what happens is that people invite you to, hey, come to the women's thing, which you guys had a women's Bible study on yesterday. And what happens is that sometimes we know these fences have been obliterated, but what we do is we take that fence and we prop it right back up, and we take some duct tape and we're like, not today, not going to do that today. I don't want you in my stuff today. Not going to have that today. I don't want you to know about this kind of stuff. And if I come in there and you guys begin to start talking about a certain subject that triggers me, I'm just going to have to start building harder and longer. It's going to be a mess. I can't do it. I don't want to expose myself. And what we do is we begin to create inside of us an island unto ourselves so that we are completely isolated, we're completely alone, but we're surrounded by loving people. Now, how crazy is that? And what we do is we try to fix these things and pull those things up that the Lord has pulled down already in our lives. We don't want to admit that we need healing in our life, but we do. We desperately need it in our life. Amen? All of us are not perfect. None of us are perfect, including me. I build walls just like anybody else. I'm a master wall builder. I'm a good fence builder. It's not natural to allow yourself or to allow other people into your mess. It's not natural because you're embarrassed about it. You've been trying to deal with it for years and haven't gotten any victory over it. And you're telling me you want me to do this, Pastor? Yes, I'm telling you. Do it. Watch and see what God will do in your life. You know, we sing a song that says, Take my faith beyond my borders, right? We sing that. It's easy to sing that, right? Take me beyond my borders. Into where Peter was when he saw Jesus walking on the water. Peter said, If that's you, Lord, tell me to come and I'll come out to you. And the Lord said, come on. And Peter got out of the boat. He got out beyond his borders. And to the only place that he could trust Jesus was on the water. When he had no control over any other thing in his life. He was completely dependent upon Jesus in his hand to hold him up. And what happened was Peter began to sink, and we give Peter such a hard time about that. And I'm sure the other disciples did too, but the disciples were in the boat. Peter was the one out on the water. And whether he was sinking, or whether he was swimming, or whether he was running or tiptoeing, he was still out on the water. Amen? And that's where we need to live, church, day by day. Not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, not during small group, but every single day of our lives being out on the water, sink or swim. Because that's where our faith grows. That's where we are dependent solely upon Him, is out on the water. And whether you're sinking, we have an opportunity to raise our hand and say, Jesus, save me. And Jesus doesn't come over there and look at you and go, you know what, I saved you like 5 times last week. I think I'm going to just turn my back on you. No. The Bible says that He graciously gives us all things. He's gracious. His mercy is long-suffering. And so He reaches down and He picks us up. And He lifts us back up on the water again. That's what the Lord does for us. And when we allow Him to do that in our life, we begin to receive healing in our life that causes us to allow people in our backyards, in our pain, in our suffering, where we live. Amen? We're not going to truly experience loving our church until we intentionally do that. I'm talking about like loving the building or the programs that we have. I mean loving each other, building one another up. When was the last time you cared about somebody else's needs above yours? Loving each other is possible to do, but it can't be done behind a fence. It's got to be done in community, amen? So how many of you guys remember that show, Tool Time? You guys remember that show? Christian, put that picture up. Remember that guy? That's Wilson. Tim the Toolman Taylor, right? So those that don't know it, that's Tim the Toolman Taylor right there in full view. That's his neighbor, Wilson. And throughout all the years of the show, you never see any more of Wilson than from the nose up. That's all you see. He's back there, Tim. He'll get in trouble with his wife or make a stupid move with his kids or business or whatever. And Tim will go outside and walk around in his backyard, and all of a sudden there's Wilson. Hey, neighbor. Remember that? Hey, neighbor. And so he would give Tim advice on life and kids and marriage and everything else. But all throughout the whole series, you never saw any more than that right there. And some of us, that's how we live our lives. That's all people can see. We built that fence so high that it almost covers our eyes because we're full of hurt. We're so guarded. We're so private that we never give God a chance to bring healing in our life. The Bible says, not forsaking our own assembling together, as it is in habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. If we are truly going to experience not only the church, but also life as God intended, then we can't live behind fences anymore. We've got to knock those things down. To truly love your church, you have got to truly love someone in your church. Amen? If you're going to love the church, not the building, not the programs, not the music, not the preaching, not anything else, if you're going to truly love your church, which is the people, then you've got to love the people in it. And the only way that you love someone is to allow them in, right? You can't love someone from a distance. You've got to invite them in. You've got to let them see who you are, where you've been, and what God has done in your life. Amen? People need to see healing. People need to see the scars of life that didn't kill, but built up, and that God brought healing and victory in. And lastly, if we're going to love the church the way God wanted us, then we need to enjoy the company. We've got to enjoy one another. Hebrews says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Community is finding ways to encourage one another in love and good deeds beyond church programs and sermons. It's seeing beyond the walls that we have built and offering to help paint the shed, pull up the weeds, right? Mow the grass, clip the hedges. It's bringing a meal when someone's sick. It's enjoying one another and helping each other to enjoy serving Jesus in the time that we have. These things don't happen automatically. They happen when we consider how to make them happen. It's deliberate. It's on purpose. So we think that this thing's supposed to be like magical, right? That there's no effort involved in us. Everything's just supposed to be happy all the time. That's not reality. That's fantasy. They happen when we consider how to make them happen. So let me suggest three things real quick, and then we're going to close. Number one, and this is a strategy for all of us to be a better church family. Number one, have healthy expectations. An unhealthy expectation is that we'll all know everyone, that every single person will be best friends with everyone. That's not realistic. It just isn't. The reality is, we can have great friendships with some and deep relationships with others. That's the reality of it. The reality of it is we all can't be best friends. But we can have deep relationships in the church. We can be good friends with some. But a false sense of reality is that, hey, we're all going to be best friends. We're all going to get along. That's just not true. At some point, I will offend you. At some point, I will irritate you. I won't mean to, but that's just part of loving one another. That's just part of getting along. Ask any married couple, and they'll tell you the same. I love them, but they irritate me. I love them, but they make me mad. I love them, but they've hurt me occasionally. That's part of community. That's part of loving one another and getting beyond it. So many of us wear our feelings on our sleeves. We go into a church and we say, church is supposed to be this perfect place, but the pastor didn't say hi to me, or I wasn't greeted in the right manner, so I'm out. I knew church wasn't any good. I knew they're just full of hypocrites. That's an unrealistic view of how the church is supposed to be to you. Amen? So number one, have a healthy expectation. Number two, realize baby steps are okay. You won't let everyone in, but you need to work on letting someone in at some point. Amen? At some point. Number three, take some ownership. Take some ownership. Realize this is everybody's job, not everyone else's job. It's everybody's job. We all need to work on it. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm going to close with this. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being the lowest and 10 the highest, how much effort are you putting into connecting with others? From 1 to 10, how much effort are you putting into connecting with others? What would you need to do to raise that number by 1 or by 2 points in the next few weeks? If you know the answer to that, then you also know the solution as well. Community is deliberate, church. It's deliberate. I don't normally do this, okay? But I'm gonna say this. I like the fact last Sunday I was over and Eric and Bree, you guys were over here and saw. Zach over here talking, inviting you over for supper, inviting you to small group. That's what community is about. But what if they say no? So what? They say no. What if they're busy? Well, then they're busy. Ask again later. Ask them over for lunch. Have you guys ever been to Philippa and Gus's house for dinner? Oh my goodness. It's really good. Philippa, I'm sorry. You said don't invite. Just come on over. So we're coming. All right? If you've never been to a small group and you get tense and terrified in being in a small group of people that you don't know very well, then get out of the boat into the water and sink or swim. Do it by faith. Everything we do must be done by faith or it doesn't please God. We cannot live as believers in our own means. We've got to live constantly out of the boat. Sink or swim in the water, whether we're neck deep or whether we're running, God is there to lift us up and to encourage us. And when we see that happen in our own lives, we can do that in community with one another as well. I encourage you to raise, if you're like a one, I encourage you to get a plan together that'll raise it up to a three. Baby steps are okay. But take those steps to be in community with your church. And when you have those connections, when you're in community with one another in a local church, it's not about, hey, I found this cool church over in the industrial park, come check it out, may come to it every once in a while, to, hey, I want you to come check out my church. This is where I have community with other believers. This is going to change your life. I promise you, if you come one time, you're going to see what the church looks like. That's what community is. It's not about whether or not you're going to be rejected or whether or not someone's going to say no, because, hey, they're going to say no. But it's about putting yourself out there. It's about making yourself available so that you can not only receive, but you can give out as well. Amen? Go from receivers to givers this year. From receivers to givers. Well, I've got needs in my life, Pastor. Well, work at it, live in faith, step by step in faith, and watch God meet your needs on the way. Amen? The Bible says that He has in need, He knows what we are in need of even before we speak it. So we don't have to speak it. We just have to continue to live by faith. And by that, naturally, He meets our needs. Amen? But a lot of us, we don't give them the chance to meet our needs because we're focused on the end of our nose. And we can't see beyond that. True community sees a need and meets it. It does their best to do it. Amen? Let's all stand up. Next week, I'm going to take a pause in this series. We're going to have Galen Hendrickson is going to be with us. He is over missions in Wisconsin and Michigan. He's also over all the church planting that goes on in the district as well. And I've asked him to come and share about missions. And those that are here, if you weren't here last week, we have our missions pledges are in the back. If you didn't fill one out and put them in the bucket next week. Pray about it. Ask God what it is that you and your family want to give toward missions this year. And put it in there. Put it in the bucket so we can come up with our missions budget, all right, by the end of the month. He's going to be talking about missions. And we've got three people that are going off into missions very soon. With Ron and Amy, Rachel, Sarah, this church is launching people. This church is investing in people to do the work of the ministry, wherever it is and however it is. Amen? That's what community is all about. So let's pray. Father, we come before you, and I thank you, Lord, that you are teaching us today and for the rest of our lives that we have a part to play. We have a part to play in the health of the church. The health of the church doesn't depend on the pastor or the board or the teachers or the other pastors. It depends on my attitude toward community. And Lord, today I pray that you would help me to overcome myself so that I can participate in community. Help me, Father, to knock down those fences in my life that isolates me, that hinders my growth, that minimizes my gifts, that tells me that I'm no good, that tells me that I have no worth, that tells me I have nothing to offer in the body. Tear those down, Lord, and give me the strength and the courage to overcome. Help me to be an integral part of the body of Christ. Not for notoriety, not for respect, but simply to do my part and to bring you glory, to make you happy, Lord. And so, Lord, I repent, Father, for picking those pieces up and rebuilding a fence. I repent, Father, of constantly living in fear and doubt. God, heal my wounds. Make me whole, Father, not perfect. Bring healing to my life. And in return, Father, I will tell everyone what you have done in my life. Lord, if I have to, I'll do it afraid. If I have to, I'll do it scared. But Lord, I will do it for your glory. Help us, Father, to all of us do our part in order that you would receive the glory, in order that you would receive the honor. Father, we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. In the name that is above every name. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, Father, you sent your Son to tear down those walls, tear down those fences, so that we can know you and so that we can know one another and live in community together. In Jesus' name, amen. What I want to do this morning is we're going to have the board members to come up and maybe some small group leaders. If you need prayer about anything today, concerning anything that I said, or maybe it wasn't even on topic at all, you just need some prayer this morning. You need someone to agree with you in prayer. Today, this morning, we give you that opportunity to come forward and to pray. And so if anybody today, if you have need prayer concerning anything, I want you to come forward. Otherwise, you guys are dismissed. Have a great, great day. Enjoy the game. Enjoy one another. And we'll see you guys back here next Sunday, all right? All right, you guys are dismissed. If you need prayer, come on.